welcome to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod. Joined live in studio tonight with Josh Skinner.
Hello, everybody.
Apologize for the delay. I know we're starting about a half hour late, but that's okay because thanks, Go Transit. Yay. So we're going to talk a little about playoff hockey in a bit.
I love how they charge you premium to be late.
Premiumness to be late. It's totally true. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some of the great work that Ferrum D has done and the two of his other band members from Rodrigo Wilder here, Alex May and Mario Anzola. And we'll be talking to them about what they're doing and what they're going to be doing in the summer and all the fun stuff. Plus, this Haitian video is pretty awesome. You were hearing some music earlier before. We're getting the show ready to go for you guys. So, NHL playoffs, Boston's at Montreal tonight, and that should be a fun game to watch. Personally, I kind of want Montreal to win. Yay. But, that being said, I do believe that Boston will win this game quite easily. Although, I don't know what the score is. You know what the score is right now? You want to look it up?
I can check that out.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but, yeah, so we're hoping to get Cabby from Cabby on the Street, who's now working with the Marilyn Dennis Show. We're hoping to get him on the show, but that's not going to happen this week. But we are looking at getting him on for next week. Just one second here. That being said, we have some great guests on for you in the summer. We have some lots of fun stuff coming up. And this will be a shorter show than originally scheduled for, just because of some personal. I was supposed to go to Boston this weekend. Not going to happen. That's okay. And, yeah, so let's have a little discussion.
Montreal's winning 1-0 right now.
Yeah, see? Montreal's winning. I was just going to say, you know what pisses me off? That my friend passed away the other week, this past week. And what really pisses me off is that, he went missing for 2 days. And no one really knew. And I mean, it's like, yeah, I realize that, you know, there's only so much you can do to help find people, but like, if someone had found him, or if they'd have put it on the news, or if there'd have been a bigger search, or if there'd have been something on Facebook, and that's not to discredit the family or his friends' efforts. I mean, I'm sure they cared. It's just one of those things where it just makes you wonder, you know, what if they found him? What if this? What if that? And it makes me sad. It makes me really sad to have to announce that Felix Gagné has passed away. And I didn't know him that well, but we went to high school together, and it's really sad. It really makes me sad, and I wish him all the best. I hope he finds peace wherever he is, because it sucks. Obviously, that sucks, and I feel for his family. I mean, that must be really hard to go through right now. So more on to some positive news, some great stuff for the three members from Rodrigo Wild coming up. But before we get into that, we're going to kick it off with some music, as we always do here on Radio Nation. So we're going to play Sweet by Anything But Monday. And then follow it off with some new music coming right up, including some new music from Tallulah Darling and DZ. So here it is, Sweet by Anything But Monday. I'm burning in the night. This next song that you're hearing right now is a new song by DZ called Head On. So here it is, Head On by DZ. That was Head On by DZ. This next song coming up is Can't Stop by Tallulah Darling. Ooh. Apologize, it's Hurricane Jane by Tallulah Darling, their new song.
wintry look on your face is anything but delightful, don't just sit there and take it. Get on down to Tan Temptations and change your freaking life. Those guys have the new high-end German tanning beds with air conditioning, aqua mist, and plenty of vitamin D for everybody. On top of that, they're conveniently located at Oakville at Dundas Street West and Neyafawa Boulevard. Oh, and even though the economy's rotten, you can actually afford this place. So stop making excuses and get on down to Tan Temptations before the mirror cracks the next time it sees your face.
Oh, yeah.
Anything but Monday.
Check us out on the web at www.tantemptations.com or check us out on Facebook. That's Tan Temptations, located on Dundas Street and Niagara Boulevard in Oakville. Welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod, joined now with Josh Skinner.
Hello.
So if you've been following the election at all, you know that Jack Layton is relatively close to catching with the Liberals.
Which is saying much, though.
It's saying, like, go vote, and if you support the NDP, you support so much spending that we'll never see the light of day again. We'll be so far in debt that it'll be the end of the world. But I like Jack Layton. I think he's in the wrong party, but I like him. But, yeah, so, I mean, you can go vote on May 2nd, which is good if everybody wants to go vote. But, honestly, I don't think this election is going to solve anything at all. I don't think it's going to change.
We're
having a minority government again. I don't think it's going to change. I don't like Harper, but whatever.
Everyone should just vote for Spock. Just write him in.
Captain Spock? Yeah, Captain Spock. Have a write in. If you could write yourself in, if you could write anybody down, who would it be?
Spock for me.
Spock. I'd write Elvis because I know he's dead, and I'd rather have a dead guy than Harper.
Put Ellen DeGeneres. Probably.
Ellen DeGeneres.
We make everybody laugh. You know?
There you go. You're on air, by the way.
I know.
There you go.
Balls. Yeah.
All right, so if you want to crowd around the mic now, you can. So we're gonna talk a little bit about this documentary, Ferrum, that you did, that you were part of.
I didn't
of.
Do the documentary. I worked on it.
Worked on it. There you go. Exactly. So we're gonna play that documentary in about 30 seconds here.
You're playing the audio.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Play the audio.
Well, I'll just let everyone know that the audio here is done by Jaffa Charles. He's also one of the subjects in the documentary, and he did the whole soundtrack to the documentary.
There you go.
So you guys will be picking up most of the songs, so just thought you should know.
We're hoping to get him on the show here sometime in the very near future, so that'll be pretty exciting. So we're going to play the documentary now.
The documentary is called Real Voodoo, and it actually airs June 13th on Vision Television at 10 p.m.
This is just a clip of it, so it's long. The whole thing is longer.
Oh yeah, it's actually a full feature documentary.
Right on.
So, that's pretty sick.
The TV version, I believe, is going to be an hour.
And how long have you been working on this?
I've been working. I do all the post production, so I'm working in post production, handling the media and the footage. But the director Sandra Whiteley has been working on this for 4 years now, and the company Creative Anarchy has. You know, they both have been working on it for 4 years. So this is 4 years in the making, and the last shoot that I went on was the final shoot.
Perfect. And so now we're going to play that. It's a 2-minute long clip here, and you're going to hear the audio from it. It's a great, great documentary, and I'm looking forward to watching the full hour-length feature of it.
About voodoo, I feel that it is spiritually evil.
When we work together, in fact, this is where we will have our strength.
Very recently,
we have been able to pull our strength together. Catholic, Protestants, Episcopalians, and Vodou people make one force out of that. And this is the force that we intend to oppose the growing of that cholera disease which is taking place in our country. Catholic, Protestants, Episcopalians, and Vodou people make one force out of that. And this is the force that we intend to oppose the growing of that cholera. Disease which is taking place in our country.
They're diametrically opposed. Someone's saying a neighbor is cursing you, but then at the same time they want to come together with another group, the Christian, and try and help that community.
My basic opinion is Haiti is not going to change until they change their attitude toward God. And as long as they worship Satan, I don't think Haiti is going to advance much.
So I like the documentary that you've done. And do you find that when you're doing it, even the post-production, that people's is there a lot of, like, misperception? Like, do people look at voodoo and think it's something that it's not?
Oh, yeah, totally. People, well, not maybe not people, voodoo has been branded through Hollywood as being voodoo dolls and zombies, which play no part in voodoo whatsoever. Voodoo is actually a religion that was sort of, they had to sort of, it all goes back to Haiti itself, you know. Haiti is a slave country, you know, and while they were slaves, they weren't allowed to pray to their gods, you know, their masters wouldn't let them. So what they did is they took the gods and the saints that their masters would pray to, and they associated them with their spirits. So the whole time they, you know, they were incorporating, you know, all these different religions. So when it comes down to voodoo, voodoo is sort of like every single religion. You go into a voodoo temple, you see Buddha, you see Jesus, you see Elisée Dentor, you see everyone, you know, all the, every single god you could think of, they've put in associated with their spirits.
Now, why do you think that that Hollywood's chosen voodoo as the sort of, like, you know, to brand it differently than what it is? I mean, it seems so inclusive.
Well, Hollywood is very Hollywood, the way that Hollywood depicts things to the world is not really what Hollywood thinks about those things. They're just depicting it in a sort of, like, good and bad, white and black sort of area in the middle, really.
Totally. Yeah, and there's, it also has a lot to do with political issues, and it also has to do a lot with monetary. Because, you know, you could sell a movie about something, or you could change the storyline and make that movie something outrageous. You know, so they chose to go down that path. And, you know, I personally feel it's also politically charged, you know, because here you have a country that has broken away, you know, from, you know, dominance of all these major countries, and they're trying to be an independent country. And, you know, when people try and break free from stuff, there's always some people trying to kind of recapture, you know. So I just think there's a whole... It's a whole bunch of things all kind of combined that brought that.
What are you trying to... Now, this might sound like a silly question, but what are you hoping to get out of this documentary? What are you hoping people will, you know, will take from this documentary when they watch it?
Well, I believe the vision of the director, Sandra Whiteley, was to, you know, portray voodoo as real as possible, you know, and just bring it to the viewer as this is real voodoo. Like, she has... really strong connections with Max Beauvoir and Leonard and some of the high-up voodoo priests. So she just wanted to bring the real, actual side to voodoo, aside from all this Hollywood. And I believe that she has done that with this documentary.
And this documentary will be airing on what station and what time and what day?
Yeah, it will be airing June 13th on Vision TV, which is Rogers Cable 60. And it's at 10 p.m. So that's June 13th at 10 p.m. on Vision Television, Channel 60.
That's definitely exciting. That's something I'll definitely have to, you know, record the whole thing, digitally record it and watch it, because I'm looking forward to it. It's a great cause that you guys have been doing. And it kind of adds on to what you've already been doing down in Haiti. And if you want to maybe explain to some of our listeners what exactly you've been doing in Haiti for the last year and a half or so, feel free.
Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot of my work here, actually, raising money for an orphanage in Haiti, Les Enfants du Midi, in Port-au-Prince, La Plaine. And so I've been doing a lot of my fundraising from here, working with Sandra Whiteley, the documentary director. And she's been working with the orphanage as well, and we actually raised money over the last year to put in a building facility for the orphanage. So it's just been, you know, raising money. And now that, you know, I just got back from Haiti in January, where I visited the orphanage and I saw what was needed. So that kind of just put a new kind of, you know, front forward motion towards, you know, what needs to be done there as far as giving these kids a better future.
Now, you, Farum, are going down again in really soon.
Yes.
And then, Alex, you're going down in August. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's the thing that's needed most right now in Haiti?
The thing that's actually needed the most right now, it's still basic needs. You know, everyone's living in tents. You know, nothing has changed since the earthquake has happened. Like, nothing. You know, you're driving down the street, there's still power lines hanging down in the middle of the street. You know, every, you know, 9.5 out of 10 houses are in rubble, and the other half is a cracked house that people can't live in. So, you know, there's a lot of need there still right now. And, you know, the best way to help is if someone goes down, you know, and personally takes these challenges on, because, you know, none of the aid is it gets to people. You know, there's some aid, there's not a lot of aid getting to people, it gets to people, but it's like, do you give someone a fish, you know, and let them eat for the day? Or right. Do you go down and start working with them and start building an economy where they won't need that handout anymore?
So they can do self-sufficiently on their
exactly.
own, right?
Exactly, and it's about stimulating the economy, right? Because Haiti has a very, you know, big community, right? It's very, when I was there, I got the biggest and warmest sense of community I've ever felt in my life. And everyone has a smile and everyone's working together. So once the economy starts getting stimulated on a ground basis, it's just a domino that it will all work itself out within them. But it needs that stimulation on a ground level.
And in terms of just like, you're going to say something, but in terms of like basic supplies, if someone wanted to donate toys or, you know, what would be the most basic thing people could give you if they had to give you one thing to take down?
I can name a few things.
There you go, name a few.
Like toothbrush, toothpaste, tampons for females, underwear. I'm actually working with an organization called We Care With Underwear. We'll post not only the documentary, but yep. also the We Care With Underwear link on the Radio Nation
yep,
page.
Sure.
And they raise underwear, which is a really big need for women and men.
Yep.
And like, toys are great for the kids at the orphanage and stuff, but that I find now that, you know, when I went down, I brought one pair of pants and like five shirts and five underwear and socks, and, you know, I was wearing the same clothes and filled my suitcase with toys. And it was great because all the kids loved the toys and it made them happy. But like, specifically for the orphanage, there's some things that need to be done before toys. Like, I'm going back and I've designed a water drainage system which stops water buildup and malaria, because mosquitoes breed in the yep. water buildup.
Yeah.
The other thing is we're going to be putting in a lighting system, because there's no light, right? And they're in a village about an hour and a half from the downtown core of Port-au-Prince, and we're talking as soon as 6 o'clock comes, it's pitch black. So we're putting in a solar power lighting system, and then we're building a school. So, you know, the needs, there's so many needs, right. You know, there's basic needs, and then there's also needs that are as basic as, you know, having a way of living yeah. properly in school.
Things we all take for granted here, like diapers, I'm sure is a big thing you guys need down there too. Everything, you know, basic necessities that we just take for granted, you know. So, I think it's really great what you guys are doing, and we'll definitely post the links and help you guys out in any way we can. Now, you're here with the rest of, or, you know, two other members from Noriega Wild.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about what your band's going to be doing in the summer and future upcoming stuff. I know I talked to Leo, and you guys wanted to, you're hoping to maybe get on a tour. So, you know, maybe guide me through what your plans for the summer are.
Well, thanks. First of all, thanks for having us here
yeah,
again.
Yeah, no
Nick.
Problem.
And
Mario!
Yeah. guitarist of the band. I didn't get to talk much last show, but plans for the tour this summer, like, the idea is, like, we want to hit as much cities as we can as possible. We want to show people what we're doing. We want to expose them to the music. We want to get free stuff for them, t-shirts, you know, singles, stickers, anything that we can, you know, grab and give them a little piece of what the project is. So we're on processes of calling, you know, venues and booking and sponsoring and the whole pre-production behind the scenes of that, organizing that tour. Very enthusiastic. We've been playing a lot of shows. We have a very important show next week, the 5th, at Bovine Sex Club, which is at Queen West. And that's going to be like the beginning of that whole like process of organizing our tour and releasing, and, you know, just moving more material as in... And moving more material as in,
right,
like, you
on,
know, for
right
example,
on.
That song that we want to actually release Blazings, that song, that day on Reverb Nation. But that day is an important day. So if you guys want to check out a nice show downtown, we're going to be playing at 10:30 with two other nice bands, Hey Sugar and I forget, DJ Cactus and someone else. I forget.
Bootleg Glory.
Yeah, Bootleg Glory. So
is this another Poor Boy production clothing
yes,
thing?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah. So you guys
actually it's not a Poor Boy production, but actually Spencer, from Matalitis from Poor Boy Clothing actually booked us for this.
Yeah, I saw the page, and like, you guys work really closely with him. What's that relationship like?
Poor Boy Clothing.
That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, we love these guys. God. They've been a great support of ours from the beginning. Yeah. You know, they saw one of our shows and they just came up to us and said they want us to, you know, play shows with them. And then we worked out a little sponsorship deal with them, and they're helping us out, you know, doing all our merch and our shirts. And yeah, you should come out to one of the shows, because they always, at all the shows, they got great setups with. Look, I'm wearing one of their shirts right now. It's called Robot Zombies, which is pretty crazy.
Awesome.
Also, wasn't one of their shirts like worn by Charlie Sheen or something?
Oh yeah, they did. They did up for this girl who designed a shirt for Charlie Sheen at his show here in Toronto. It was Charlie with two like. I think it was angels,
empire
angels or whatever, and it was actually on the front page of the paper and stuff.
That's really cool.
I don't know the girl's name who designed it, but Poor Boy printed that.
So. Yeah. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. That's pretty awesome stuff. We're gonna take a quick break here on Radio Nation, play some music, and then we're gonna come back and talk to you guys a bit about what else you're gonna be doing this summer and in some future stuff. So we're gonna take a break here on Radio Nation, 8:37. I'm your host, Nicholas Pascod. Keep listening to Radio Nation.
Radio Nation.
Yeah.
Radio Nation.
I thought
Ball.
You
Radio
Nation. Hey, this is Jessica Speziali, and you're listening to Radio Nation on Centennial Radio with Nicholas Pescod.
You know you love me, I know you care.
that from Metal Gear Solid to Tekken 3 and from Omega Blues to Resident Evil. Just play for the fun, cause we got it going on.
Game of chess. I wanna be the best, I won't settle for less. It's like a straight up honey in a summer dress that really turns me on. Yes, I must confess, I know that she knows I wanna give it to you, and I know that she wants to do me too, cause I Feel the vibe when the look in her eyes and her blushing cheeks just tell me she's shy. So I start to mack and say that she's dope, and I was wondering if there was any hope for us to fantasize in the old wonderland. She could be my girl and I'll be a good man. I don't usually come across like that, but yo, you must know that it's a well-known fact that I'm just funny, I'll make you smile. Don't be scared, girl, it's just my style.
You were lifting me up. We sitting tight while relaxing the back of the truck. What? You got money, but there ain't no love. It's kinda funny now she's hating a thug. Why? I'm so deep in it. It's like do or die. You can be my Bonnie, I can be your Clyde. If you're down to ride or suicide, to the beach, sunset, watching out the tide. Baby girl, yeah, you're watching me drift. I bought a fake rose and I'm wondering if I could love you till the day that it would die. Yeah, or better yet, yeah, the rest of my life. Yeah, she's so sweet with it. It's like Candyland, I'm just needing it. Call me Candyman. She got me going up, straight to the top. Yeah, I said it before, she just lifts me up.
Next, we have Turn Me On by Jessica Speziale.
Turn me on.
If it works.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm here with Josh Skinner and three wonderful members from Rodrigo Wild.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. All right, so I hear some sort of feedback in my ear. It's kind of gross. All right, so we were just talking about your tour and your upcoming tour in June. And so tell us a little bit about the show. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but tell us about the show that's coming up next week.
Yeah, we'll be playing next week. We're playing the Bovine Sex Club, May 5th. Get there early, 10 o'clock. We'll be going on about 10:20. Yeah, Bovine Sex Club, May 5th, Rodrigo Wild. We'll be playing with Bootleg Glory, Hey Sugar, and Cactus.
And this is the start of a very long and lengthy summer tour for you guys.
It's not actually the start of the tour.
Not the official start.
Not the official start, but prepping. It's definitely going to be the start to a new season.
Right on.
A new season
for pre-gaming.
Yeah.
And so you guys, you guys are looking to sell merchandise, and you guys are looking to, you know, when you guys do your tour and you get it all set up, will you have one of those shirts that have like those tour dates on the back?
No, I don't think we'll go that far. You know, we're kind of still, you know, I would classify us as being a little bit, you know, garage. You
right
know, we. You know, we take our music very seriously, but, you know, we're very relaxed.
Like,
you know?
Like MJ Cole Garage or like Garage Band Garage?
Which one? Maybe like UK Garage. I don't know. Maybe did you think about that one?
I don't know.
I don't know. Garage don't in know general. Because anytime Garage is mentioned, it's sort of, you know, in a nice kind of tempo.
Right on.
But, but yeah, all our merch is done by Poor Boy Clothing. So we'll be having our Poor Boy Clothing Rodrigo Wild shirts, and we actually Rodrigo Wild himself, who has Wild Dimensions, you can check that out, www.wilddimensions.com, great 3D animation. He's actually right now in the process of designing us a couple exclusive releases from Wild Dimension for Rodrigo Wild
shirts.
That's
pretty awesome.
So when we start the tour, we're going to have probably three or four in
different
Rodrigo
designs,
Wild
yeah
collection.
Now when you start this tour, I mean, you guys are talking about going local, or do you want to go Southern Ontario? You want to go, you know, Eastern Canada? Like, where do you guys want to go?
Well, this tour, we're gonna be starting with our first tour start in Kingston, Ontario, and we're going to be traveling east for 13 days until we hit Halifax.
All right.
And from there, we're going to come back towards Toronto, do Ottawa, Quebec, and then back Toronto, and then we'll have our Toronto tour date halfway through the tour. And then from there, we head out west, and we go all the way to Victoria.
That's
BC.
Exciting. That is very, very exciting.
Yeah. 9 provinces, 4 national parks, over 15,000 kilometers on the road, 21 shows, 21 venues.
I want to tag along with you guys for part of the trip. I
yes
really would.
Yes.
And how are you guys getting out west?
It's all going to be the same. We're taking the bus.
Taking the bus?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. We're working on getting a bus right now, actually, and going to paint it up with our Rodrigo Wild
That's exciting
logo, and, you know, get our sponsors' logos on there. And any sponsors listening, you know, we got gold, silver, and platinum packages, so everyone in the sponsoring range is
welcome. These guys know what they're doing. You guys know what you're doing. You guys know who you want for sponsors. And yeah, no, if you guys are going out west, like, yeah, that's exciting that you guys want to do this, and you'll definitely get your name out there even more. And you guys will probably have so much fun out there on the road. And
I think that's the main point of this.
Yeah, like, just to go have fun.
We love sharing our music with people, and, you know, it's a great experience for all of us to get together and, you know, go out on the road and just make music for 31 days continuously.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just talking, we're going to be playing on the bus, we're going to be playing when we get back from the concerts, we're going to be playing until 4 a.m. in the national parks.
I want
to
be tents
for bears and
well
eagles.
If there's anyone out there who wants us to come on one of our off days and play
a house party
or something, just
yeah
hit us
we
up on our Facebook
to crouch. That's
you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm yeah
I want some beers there, bud. Yeah, you know,
you know what, I saw this ad on Kijiji, I think it was Kijiji, or maybe it was Craigslist. Some guy's like, I need some DJ for a house party or some band.
Nice.
And, it's in Perry Sound or something like that, and I don't know. He's like, you guys just stay, and I'll give you free alcohol. So I should dig it up for you guys, because I was like, man, if I was a DJ, I would so do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's just like two nights or something like that, where it's just like, you know, he's just like, I throw this huge party, like, you know, like a couple hundred people show up to this guy's cottage, and we just get wasted. And he's like, I need a DJ just for like 2 days. I mean, I'll pay. So I should dig it up for you, because I don't know how old it is, but yeah, that'd be pretty sick. I'm sure he'd take a live band.
Yeah, it'd be great. We'd be totally willing to do that even on an off tour, because Perry Sound's really close.
Yeah.
So it's not too far for us to do something.
Now, have you guys, the tour, like, are you guys, you know, in terms of the tour, of all these places, locations set in stone, like you are for sure?
Locations are set in stone.
What's the most exciting place for each one of you, where you want, like, what place are you looking forward to going to the most?
Vancouver. I want to go to Vancouver, definitely, and I want to go to BC for sure, because, like, I first moved to Canada for, like, the holistic healing and homeopathic stuff, and I heard BC's really cool for that, so.
BC's a wonderful place. It's pretty awesome.
speaking of healing, too, one of the big reasons why I wanted to go to Haiti, too, is, like, being from the South in the States and being involved in, like, South Carolina and the voodoo community there in Savannah as well, it's going to be really nice to be able to see, like, all of that. Like, when Farron was speaking earlier about how they use the Christian saints, how the slaves would emulate the Christian saints into their system of practicing it, there was a lot of communities in Hilton Head. There was a voodoo community there that was totally cut off from the rest of the world. They had an agreement with people that no one would touch them, and I only got to go there once or twice, but it was really cool. But I would really like to go to Haiti just to see the roots of that. Like, I have a tattoo of, like, Yemaja, like, tattooed on my arm, which is one of the principal mermaid goddesses in Haitian voodoo and in Brazilian. It's also a Brazilian goddess, too. So, I don't know. I'm really, really excited about going out there and kind of scared at the same time.
Actually, Alex, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you, but when I was in Haiti, I got to go to an induction of Mamba and Ugans voodoo ceremony. And there were three Mambas being inducted who were actually from Louisiana, and they actually flew to Haiti to pass this rite.
That's impressive.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so, you know, like, you being from down south and all that, it all just kind of ties in together, you know?
Yeah, it was great meeting Jaffa for the first time, too, because he was like, when he met me, he was like, you have the power. Like that.
And I was like, I love this guy.
He's like, I know.
Yeah.
Mario can shoot lightning bolts from his hands.
I can now.
It's official. It's on radio.
It's been recorded.
It's happening.
Etched in stone.
Watch out.
If you want to see how, you got to keep listening. You'll find out how to see that. So, do you have this upcoming song? Talk to us a little bit.
Yeah, actually, about, you know what? We wanted to mention something. I don't know, you guys. We think we want to do something special tonight.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. So let's. Sure. So we have the release of our debut single, Blazing. It's we're releasing it in the middle of June 23rd on iTunes. But we're actually doing a pre-release drop date on May 5th at reverbnation.com/RodrigoWild, where you can go on and you can stream it as many times as you want, listen to it a million times, put it on a Tunes Pack player on your computer that, you know, you can upload songs even from other artists on Reverb Nation, but specifically Blazing. And, yeah, I think maybe we should
play it.
You want to play it? The world premiere.
The very first time anyone outside us four have heard it. So
let's play it. So here it is. We're going to play it right now.
Blaze and enjoy.
I just got to make sure I get it right there. There you go. So that was the world premiere of Blazing by Rodrigo Wild. There you have it. World premiere on this station. That is awesome. So talk to us a little bit about the song. So how long, the process and how long it took, and give me some guidance. It's a really nice song. I really like it.
Well, actually, I'm going to kill you.
Don't kill me.
Fair.
I'm going to, well, originally the song, when I first, like, when they wrote, like, the guitar line and the melody line for it and everything, I was kind of concerned because I was thinking, like, well, is this a song about, like physical abandon, or is it a song about spiritual abandon, or is it about drugs? and then I thought, you know what if it's about all of those things, and it's about the human experience, and about just experiencing, it's not just about love, it's about being able to kind of, like, someone who's felt very closed from people and being vulnerable with people, and they just meet this group of people that just ignites this powerful explosion inside of them. And this song is basically, I can't really tell you what it's really about because that would give it all away, but it's
private.
It's very private, but it's about being vulnerable
now,
mostly.
In terms of when you write, maybe not just this song, but other songs that you've done in the past, do you take in account a lot of personal experience?
Lyrically, like for me, like I walk around everywhere with like a little notepad, and if I get like some weird rhyme in my head or some free thought thing, I write it down, and then I take it with me to, well, that's like telling a lot too, so I like to write poems.
That's okay.
Yeah.
See, I can add something in there.
Yeah.
See, one thing that works so well with us writing music together, like, we've never actually had to have a writing session. Yeah. And we actually find that the hardest thing for us to do because it comes so naturally.
Right.
To force something that comes so naturally is a big challenge, you know? And we've worked through that challenges when it's necessary. But, you know, as far as when we write songs, it's all of us individually kind of performing ourselves.
Yeah. But and then we kind of follow each other.
It all works together. And, like, we don't need to, you know, we have a lot of eye communication. But if we don't, we have ear communication between each other, which I've never experienced with any other person. And that's where you can know when someone's going to do a drop without looking at them and without rehearsing. And it just, everything kind of fits with these guys when we play music together. It's all of us doing our individual thing, and it just merges into one thing.
That must be special and unique just to have that.
We're very subtle about it, too. Like, sometimes when we're playing on stage, like, my friend Helen, she noticed that Helen from Dinosaur, Dinosaur.
Dinosaur, Dinosaur! Spelt backwards. Yeah. Check it out.
She said, you know, the first time I was watching you guys, I was thinking, wow, they're really, like, fighting each other on stage, and it's beautiful and chaotic. But then she said there would be moments where we would just, like, look at each other, and she'd be like, oh, they're playing together. That's very interesting. I was like, yeah.
There's obviously a sense of respect in terms of space. I mean, like, obviously, Alex follows, you know, the responsibility of carrying the whole, you know.
He's like the glue.
Yeah, like he.
Where that beautiful wrapping paper, and he comes in with that gold.
He's like
tape
the orchestrator,
the
right? So, like, musically, like, fam, Leo and I, and obviously, like, what we're trying to do is lay out the nicest, you know, cushion mattress for him to just, like, surf on, basically.
Ooh, yeah.
He's having a groove, and, like, it's very important for me, because, like, I do backups, and I'm like, slowly but surely I've been coming out of my
Blazing.
We're singing Blaze, and that would be an example of it. But slowly but surely I've been coming out of my shelf, and it's all thanks because, like, you know, fam and Alex have, like, pushed me back and been like, well, like, yeah, like, I mean, lead singers are important, but I mean, backup singers are important too, but I mean, there's also that space where, like, I go high and I'm gonna go, like, a little bit lower, even a little bit quieter, or, like, I don't know, it's fun in that sense. But I understand what he's saying about his friend Helen, because sometimes it's like we're almost, like, picking at each other on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's, like, we're all like, in each head and in each groove. Like, we're hearing each other, right? But, like, spontaneously, like, look, say, fam, we'll drop, like, a little solo, right? And, like, he'll look at me, and, like, we'll give him the space, right? But, like, me trying to boost it up, we'll bring it, like, in a little chaotic sense. Then Alex will scream on top of it. And then it's, like, it's almost progressive, but it's almost, like, explosive in that sense.
And, well, that comes also a lot because, you know, we make up a lot of our songs on stage.
Yeah.
Like we make it a point that every
we have time, one improvised song.
Exactly.
One improvised song. We'll just say, we'll be like, this is
the
new.
Night of, we'll be like, okay, well, on stage right after we do a song, we have like 20 seconds before we start it, and we're like, reggae D?
D.
No, let's do B.
Let's do it on
B,
E or whatever.
Or E. Yeah, E works. And then we just do, and Alex has the hardest time because we can at least go E, and he can know E because Alex is very vocally
he'll pick
tuned.
It up with his
so
ear.
We can say E and he knows E, but lyrics,
yeah,
you know, new lyrics, setting the mood, the vibe.
I think he just gets possessed.
He does. He has the spirits come and invoke him.
Something happens.
Strength.
Yeah,
like I have my friend. One of my friends was there, and she's like, "Yeah, I thought you were possessed." And I was like, "Well, you know,
and even yeah,
entities are good for something sometimes."
Yes.
And even if you'll try, recreate that same song we improvised at, let's say, a show on a Sunday or something like that, we'll be like, "Oh yeah, we did play that song. What was that?"
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, we actually have a new song now. It's our first check. That's going to be, you know. Coming out very soon. We're going to be in the studio recording that. Very experimental.
It's cool.
Very experimental. It's something new. New flavor. New touch for everyone. Yeah.
And now, kind of to add on, you guys basically covered what I wanted to ask, but you hear some... I've had other artists come in and they say, you know, I hear a beat and I write to it. Or I hear stuff in my head and I'll put the lyrics down and then I find the beat to go with it.
Yeah.
Does it happen to you guys? You guys just play and then you hear
Alex
that lyrics, Alex, and you just sing something.
Yeah,
it comes to him.
Yo,
it comes
Alex
to him
just
naturally.
Come kind of writes it as he goes. Like,
yeah.
We'll
yeah.
start playing and like all our songs.
Yeah.
Blazing, the one you just heard,
yeah.
was actually going on when we were just hanging out. Rodrigo was on the phone. Actually, that was Rodrigo Wild too. The exact same thing happened. Rodrigo Wild, our other song. But, you know, it's us just hanging out and a situation happening, and maybe Mario's. And that sounds cool, and I'm like,
yeah.
dude, I start screwing around, and then Alex just comes on and starts wailing, and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, what was that? And like, we're like, whoa, let's do that again.
It kind of all comes together, because like, for example, like a lot of the little things that I've been playing with Rodrigo, like I've been playing in my room with my guitar for a while. Like I've been playing like Blazins in a more folky way that I showed you guys, and you guys are like, wow, that's cool. And then that's when we explored it somewhere else. I guess we were just in a rehearsal, and I started playing the same riff. You looked at me like something like, speed it up, man. Like, I mean, I'm kind of falling asleep on you here, man. Like, maybe take the hay out of your mouth, cowboy. Just,
awesome.
And then we made it into
a
song.
It worked out for the outro, right?
It did.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a beautiful outro for the
song,
you know?
It is. It's, I'm very pleased in that sense, because we can each do our homework at home.
Right.
But when we get to the rehearsal, it's like, it's like a melting pot.
And
I mean, everyone
unscripted.
Will throw, everyone will throw a little spice in.
You were talking about, like, you know, like, you have the beat and then you write the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, I have a background in, like, electronic music. Like, I used to write top lines for people, like electronic music artists. And electronic music, which has a lot of classical composition background, everything pretty much. Like, and so these guys, like, we work together and they start playing the beats. It's like block of sound. It's like when I'm in the rehearsal space, it's like being on Pro Tools. Like you hear like the block of
you see
music.
The space where you're working.
You see where you come in and then where you go out, you know what I mean? It's really awesome. Like I love working with them. It's easy.
Amen.
Easy?
It's really easy.
So then what's the biggest challenge for you guys as a group?
Timing, I guess. Well, not timing. I mean, we all have our schedules and everything. I mean, we're trying to put. We're sometimes late. A lot of us are Latinos or Italians, and poor fam is the only one British. We're very punctual, and I've been late a couple of times. I know that. I'll take that into account. But I mean, yeah, like it when it comes to like schedules, it's not like we all have like extremely hectic lives, but we are. I guess that's the only challenge, that it's not huge at all. Like, it's not like we take that personal when we're late.
I think what it is now is that Rodrigo Wild is us.
Yeah,
you know, it's become such a part of us that it's worked itself into our daily routine.
Right. We know that
we
have to dedicate some time to Facebook to just like chat each other up, be like, guys, this is what we want to work on. You know, fam is on top of like mailing all of us the info where he's going with Reverb Nation, and Alex, we're talking with,
he's
you
going
know,
to
hit
rehab.
No. And then he tells us
a lot of rehabs and verbs.
And he's been adding a lot of verbs that he sends us. But you know, like Alex on top of like looking for people taking pictures. I mean, we find a way of communicating each other through, especially like I found like Facebook has helped us a lot. Like we'll call each other like once a week or like even once a day, but Facebook like. little idea for a flyer. Doom, it goes up. We all give it the okay. And then, like, in one afternoon, we could have, like, 10 things done because of,
yeah, you know, and it also gives us, a facility to, yeah, to share our ideas, right, and come up with the solutions on our own time within, like, an 8-hour period.
Yeah, totally.
Because, you know, you can... I'm the one who's calling people up all the time, and I'm waking these guys up at, like, 10 in the morning, yeah, to tell them some good, yeah, news,
you're
or like something.
The manager,
and, right? We're a little lazy.
I understand. They're not lazy, but I understand how it gets annoying after, like, I'm talking. Well, I'm a serial phone caller in the morning to these guys.
I used to be, and then, like, until recently, like, within the last, like, 2 months, it's like, Farum didn't call me at 10 a.m. What's wrong? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, I just went running and I missed his call. And he's like, yo, man, I gotta tell you about this. And I'm like, yes. And it's like espresso. You know what I mean?
But it definitely keeps us all
Monster
online
energy
in that
drink.
Sense.
Yeah.
So then, Farum, are you the one? You're the one doing the Facebook like updates? Is that
no,
who
actually,
does
it's
that?
All of us. All of
but
us.
He's
I'm just
a little more organized.
I've also been working in the music industry here in Toronto and in Canada and a little bit in the States for a while. So my resources and my, you know, tools are a little more broad, so I'm bringing those to the table, and that just sometimes means that, you know, I'm ragging on these guys a little more
I'm
than they're so ragging on me.
I'm so grateful for Farum that he's so naggy. Otherwise, stuff would not get done.
I'm just grateful that it's rubbing off on you guys.
Yeah,
he's starting to nag me now.
Yeah, no. You haven't called yet. What's wrong?
We all have, you know, our things that we have to do. So
yeah.
So I met one of your manager on when I met you guys last.
You met who?
Your manager? Or?
We don't have a manager.
Wasn't your manager? Who's the guy I met that was with you, and he has a son?
Oh, actually, you met Robin Short.
Yeah, yeah,
Robin
yeah.
Robin Short, that's North of Seven Sound.
Oh, okay.
He is our engineer.
That's what I meant. I was going somewhere with this.
He's co-producing that. We're co-producing it as Rodrigo Wild with Robin Short as well.
Yeah.
And we're recording that at North of Seven Sound. And
his house.
Blazin was also mastered at Carvello Mastering with Steven Stefanik.
Yeah.
And so we're really honored to be working with a great team, you know, award-winning team.
It was great recording. That studio is so comfortable. Like, as a singer in a studio setting, like, where you really have to, like, do takes correctly and stuff, it wasn't like that with him. It was like, just be yourself.
Very natural.
It was awesome.
I think it was a nice experience, too, getting out of the city and recording outside, not having the hectic, like, you know, when you're going into the studio, you kind of have to zone out a little. And I mean, I'm not saying that recording here downtown is a bad thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure,
but we can go out and have a cigarette and look at a couple acre yard and watch a sunset.
See, like,
so
a
where
watching rabbits
run
around.
So where did you record, and like where was it done?
It's in just a little bit north of Pickering.
Yeah.
Right on.
Right, and it's at a private studio.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And, Robin Short is a really great professional, and he actually has a friend too,
of course,
has a very good passion for sound and getting sound, you know, to the best quality that it could be.
Yeah,
same with Steven at Carvello. He has a really great ear, and I got to sit in on the mastering session and, you know, watching someone, you know, get into what he's doing, and when it's something that we've done, you know, it just shows that we have a really good teamwork.
So how did you meet him? Like, how did you get these connections?
Well, actually, Robin Short did all the audio for the documentary.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Robin and I were both in Haiti together, you know, and we're actually working on, hopefully by the end of this year, opening up a recording studio in Haiti that we'll
exciting.
And we're setting it actually up at, hopefully at the radio station that we visited. So
imagine all the artists that can come out
of
all
course,
that.
Like,
that'd
be
so
the talent
amazing.
There is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so Robin is, you know, he's a personal friend of mine. So when you know, it came up that we were going to record, that was the first place that I presented to these guys. And of course, you know, you say, oh, I want to record with a friend, everyone's going to be a little but that's the second they met them, it was kind of like we were all friends
right away.
So we have a really great relationship working with these guys.
Robin really brought something out in me too vocally. Like, I a lot of the times I've been in vocal booths, I felt very like very insecure and had to like put on a front or something, and in that time, like, I really just let it go. Like, I really gave her, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, every time I get into a vocal booth, I just think about being in that one out there, and it's really awesome. Like,
it is.
I think of that, you know?
Now, if you're given the opportunity, this is probably an obvious question to ask, but if you're given the opportunity to record in Haiti, would you guys take it?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, we were actually...
Are you guys hoping of doing that at some point?
I'd love to do some voodoo songs, actually.
We were just talking outside during the last break there, because Alex is coming in August. We were thinking that maybe we should bring the full band down and do a show with Jaffa.
That would be something to see.
So, yeah, so that's something that we're probably going to be setting up for the end of the year or next year.
I also like to learn.
Strive for.
Sorry.
Stop cutting me off, Alex.
Stop cutting me off.
Stop it.
Stop it, Mario. I would like to learn some Mario. like spiritual, like voodoo chants or something. That would be cool to learn. Like, I would like to learn how to sing a different way.
It's an interesting culture. You know what? Like, I agree. Like, you know, in the media, it's portrayed to be something it really isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, my perception of voodoo is really far off from watching the documentary, which doesn't... I mean, it just goes to show you that. I mean, like, I've never taken the time to go learn it or to be in depth about it. But not only that, like, it's just what I see on TV is, you know, all right, well, I guess, you know, there's got to be some sort of truth to it. But, you know, clearly there isn't if you watch this documentary. So I think that documentary is going to really help open up people's, you know, imagination and world. And, oh, so it's not this thing where there's voodoo dolls and all kinds of weird stuff that goes with it. It's... very, very inclusive, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I find in the media, it's the exact opposite. It seems like it's very, you know, exclusive.
It's demonized, basically.
Yeah.
You know.
So, what else? I mean, we talked about your tour. We talked about your CD. Anything else in the future you guys want to talk about that you know, might be doing?
Yes. I see something happening in the future. What is that? I see a date. May 5th. 11 a.m., hold on, I'm picking up something else. Oh, I see it. www.reverbnation.com/RodrigoWild. Blazing's dropping May 5th, 11 a.m. We're also doing a show at the Bovine Sex Club May 5th, that night, 10 p.m. Come check us out live. It's going to be a great, 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 great show.
Come support us, bud.
Perfect. And before we end off this show, which is, I know, a shorter show, I'm going to play the clip on air that I played you guys of the little interview that I did with you, Alex, and Farum, and I did one with Leo, and it's a little, it's supposed to be a radio news clip, and I did it for a radio class, but I'm going to play it on the air.
And just to let you guys know, my last name is not Doyle.
Yeah, no.
It's actually D-E-E. I guess it got a little confused.
Lost
so
in
this
transition.
Is Farum Doyle speaking to you live on Centennial Radio Nation.
It's like
Radio
something
Nation.
A poor name. It's like a poor name.
Farum Doyle.
Farum Doyle. Hello. Hi.
Yeah, well, that's my apologies for getting that lost in transition, but here we go. We're going to play it anyway. So.
Farum Doyle.
Raise money for an orphanage in Haiti. Rodrigo Wild member Farum Doyle has been helping an orphanage in Haiti for the past year. He spoke outside of Rancho Relaxo about the importance of the concert.
It's crucial at this point. You know, I just got back from Haiti at the end of January, and, you know, like, the orphanage, it's still in rubble.
Farum Doyle, who prefers to be called Farum D, is hoping to raise $8,500. He says the orphanage needs a new water system as well as food and other supplies. He'll be heading down to Haiti in August and will be joined by fellow band member and vocalist Alex May. May says he's tired and frustrated of seeing the Haitian people suffer.
I don't think anyone should have to suffer, and I'm tired of people suffering and people acting like it's not happening, because it is happening.
Not all members of Rodrigo Wild will be traveling down to Haiti in August, but guitarist Leo Roche says they're all proud to support Farum D and his cause.
We're glad to stand behind any band member 100%, and it's great that that Farum's doing this, man, and it actually reflects on us.
Farum D says the most rewarding aspect about his visit to Haiti is hugging the 44 children at the orphanage.
You know, there's 44 kids who all just want a hug. They're not asking for anything, they just want a hug.
All proceeds from the charity concert are going directly to help the orphanage. Reporting live from Rancho Relaxo, I'm Nicholas Pescod, Observer Radio News. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod, and that is it for tonight's show. So again, I'd like to thank you guys for coming on. Alex, Mario, and Farum, I'd like to thank you guys very much for coming on to the show. It's funny that you guys came on because you guys are the first band I ever did interviewed.
Nice.
So now you're the last band that I've interviewed for the series, for my, you know, the whole portion of my semester. So it's been I've had a lot of fun, and it's been good to have you guys on. You guys come in anytime you want.
Thanks, Nicholas. We're always, you know,
happy you guys are
to come by
to
Radio Nation and share some carbon dioxide with you in this room.
And your show is definitely exciting and not boring.
Yeah.
At all.
Did you hear that? You see that?
Yeah, argument? We saw that little controversy
I
today.
I only heard about it.
You know, okay, here, I will explain on the air to people who saw it, because I felt bad for poor Jaffa, because he's like probably like, what the f*** is this guy? You know, so it's this guy that, you know, he might be listening, so hi, Ani, if you're listening.
Hi, Ani.
What's up, Ani?
Hi, Ani.
So,
we're here, buddy.
He's one of those guys who likes
Seriously.
He likes to, you know, push the envelope on the internet kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like, he likes to talk a lot of stuff on the internet, and he was going, and he's very, not a lot of people tend to, you know, agree with a lot of what he says in the classroom or just in general. And so he has a tendency to just say inappropriate things on my show, like, and I'm like, why are you saying this? And then, you know, it just kind of got like, he's like, well, your show sucks. I'm like, then why do you listen to it, man? Like, if you think it's boring, why are you listening? You're like, I don't care what you think.
So you know what the good thing about that is?
What?
Is that you have a radio show.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you have a radio show, you're going to have, if you're doing
people
anything
gonna hate
that,
you.
That other people aren't doing, it's going to suck to them.
Yeah,
but
totally.
For every person that comes out and says it sucks to you, there's 10 people backing behind them that aren't going to, that might not come out, but they're liking what you're doing. Look out for those people who tell you you suck, because they're only 1% of the people who are following you.
Totally. And you know what? It was funny because I'm like, man, you're just making yourself look dumb. Like, I mean, I'm just going at it just to see what he'd say next. And I'm just like, this has got to stop. Like, people, like, I realize the people that are tagged in this comment.
Yeah, I untagged myself actually after the 14th notification.
Yeah, I was like, I realized, I'm like, holy crap, this has gone way too far.
That was fine, man.
But
there's always drama in life, you know. So.
Probably gave you guys a good laugh though. So I'm like, it was like, it's something to talk about.
Yeah,
so.
I was like, ooh, Radio Nation has drama. That is drama.
Tune in next week to check out the drama that we're going to bring, because we might come back and bring some special friends.
Be some heat. There's be some heat.
He's gonna bring some strippers.
Be some heat in this.
Don't
is already.
Tell them.
I'm sorry.
Ruin the surprise.
I'm not gonna take off my clothes.
Live stripping on Radio Nation next week.
Why not? It's already like 38 degrees
it's
in this room.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for Radio Nation. Stay tuned for next week, as hopefully
live
these guys
strippers.
Will be back. Yeah, and potentially live strippers on the show. It's 9:30. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Nicholas Pascal. Check us out at www.facebook.com/radionation.ca. Check out my friend Josh Skinner's show. That's on Fridays at 5, the original soundtrack. Thanks again for listening, and have a great night.